I don't understand marathon running. I don't get it. I don't see the reason for it. First of all, you're exerting yourself to the point where you could probably die. And you're doing it for up to 26, 30 miles. Why? What are you trying to prove? I don't get it. The only time I ever run is when somebody's chasing me.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Even when someone's chasing me, I just give up.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Did you know that? Did you know that at all?
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. I think you had that figured out when you clicked on the thing. It is who I am, and in order to gain sympathy and love from you, I always have a puppy dog nearby to hold up in front of the microphone.
Aww.
Isn't she adorable? Look at those big droopy eyes.
Aww.
And that big fluffy lip.
Aww.
And those little scratchy paws.
Aww.
And that tick holding on to its back.
Aww.
And the little drool coming out of her mouth.
Aww.
And the feces that she left on the floor for me to pick up.
Aww.
They're so adorable. I do love dogs. I do. I mean, not in the same way I love sheep and goats, but, you know, still I love dogs. Come on. Welcome to the program. It's marathon time. There are a lot of marathons run around this time of year. And people actually do this on purpose. That's what I don't understand. I can understand if you murdered somebody or if you committed some type of heinous crime, you might be sentenced to have to run for a long time every day. That would be a horrible sentence. I get that. But to actually do it because you want to voluntarily, that I don't understand. Why would somebody want to beat their body up like that? Man, come on. That's why automobiles were invented, so you don't have to run to get somewhere. Get on a bus, damn it. What's wrong with you? What's the reward to running for an extended period of time to the point where your heartbeat is like faster than a hummingbird, your heart muscle's about to bust out of your chest, you can't breathe, you can't catch your breath, you feel like you're going to fall down and die. That's a voluntary thing? Come on, man. What, are you kidding me? I can even understand going to the gym. Now, I don't go to the gym because it scares the hell out of me. Basically, because there are other people that go to the gym, and that scares me. I don't like to see people sweat. It's not something that I do out of love and devotion. Let's see. What do I want to do today? How about if I exhaust myself to the point where I get dizzy and I surround myself by a lot of sweaty people. That sounds like fun. Let me do that every day obsessively. I mean, I know a lot of very thin people that exercised who died early. And I have a feeling I know why. Because they overdid it. So I don't go to the gym. I don't surround myself by gym-like people. I don't even have any friends named Jim, because it's just too close to what bothers me. Hello, my name's Ron. What's your name? Jim. I'm sorry, I can't. But it's not spelled G-Y-M. I spell it J-I-M. I don't care. It sounds like it, and I don't want to hear it. All my life, people have been saying, Ron, go to the gym, go to the gym, go to the gym. I want nothing to do with that word whatsoever. That phrase, Jimmy a lock, I don't even want a Jimmy a lock. I don't want anything with the word Jim in it. Slim Jim, no, thank you. Not into it. Thank you very much. I don't understand the obsession with running. How is that a sport? I don't get it. And people train for months and months and months so that on one day they can run for 26 miles. If there was something at the end like a free TV, a free flat screen, sex with any one of the other runners, although they'd be too exhausted to make it fun, but something, you know, like a free raincoat, something at the finish line. The first, second, and third place winners, they get, they actually have a branch from a tree that they, in a circular thing that they put on their heads. That's their prize. I think there are monetary prizes now, and you're going to need that money to get through the heart operation. So, because you're destroying your organs is what you're doing. I don't think human beings were meant to run for long distances. They were meant to take a cab or an Uber, whatever. Seriously? If you're fourth or 572nd, what's the reward of crossing the finish line? So you can walk around and tell people that you meet, guess what? I ran in a marathon and I finished it. You finished it? You ran all the way till the end? Well, I don't know if I ran so much as I started walking after my palpitations. I don't get the whole thing. And I don't understand how it's a spectator sport. How is that possible? Why is it a spectator sport? Why in the world would you stand on a curb for 4 hours and the only spectacle is people might be running by you? What kind of spectacle sport is that? Do you tailgate it? Let's have a few hot dogs. The runners should be like running by us any minute. Oh, okay, there they go.
Wow, people running. How often do you see that, Bob?
I don't get it. And then they actually stand there with cups of water to give to the runners, which is it's the only spectator sport where you actually hand the participants something to possibly keep them alive for a little bit longer. It's a very, very odd. It's a very, very odd sport to participate in. It's a very odd sport to be a spectator. And I watch him on TV. And I see the people lining the streets, cheering on the people that are running. And I break that on down, I analyze it, and it just is like stupid. It's just stupid. I mean, I don't stand on a curb in the morning in a downtown area and watch people walking from the subway to their office. I don't stand on the curb and go, come on, you can get to work. Come on, you can make it to work. Come on, here's some coffee. Come on, you can do it. Come on, get to that office building. You don't, what's the difference? You don't do that. It's just very odd. The only good thing about running a marathon is that the night before you're supposed to have large amounts of pasta because you're supposed to have a lot of carbs because you're going to burn a lot of carbs, you see, and you have to have something in your body to burn. I know this much. I know that much about running. Other than that, I don't know how to do it. I know it has something to do with putting one foot in front of the other in a fast motion, but I don't understand how that actually works. So eat large amounts of pasta. I'm into that. But the problem is after you've eaten a large amounts of pasta, you're supposed to burn it off. And that's where I kind of go wrong. The burning the pasta carbs off, that's the part I haven't gotten down real well just yet. So I'm not going to run. I knew a lady. I know a lot of ladies. I knew a lady who ran a marathon, the Boston Marathon, every single year for a period of time. And she would train for it all year round. Oddly enough, she wasn't in shape. She had gigantically huge hips. And through no fault of her own, it wasn't because she ate a lot, just the way she was built. She was in good shape except for her hips. She kind of looked like an end table sitting next to a couch. It was just, the hips were like, you could put drinks on it and table lamps and things. It was, they were large hips. But to her credit, she ran the marathon every year. And I very politely, in conversation with her, kept trying to ask her the question, which was a one-word question with a question mark after it. And the question was, why? 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 What? You could be doing so many other things. Why? What is it? And she says it releases endorphins. I said, I don't know who the endorphins are or what you're talking about, but isn't there some other way to release them? I mean, if you have an excess of it, I suppose you have too many endorphins and you need to release them. I don't understand what you're talking about. But aren't there other ways to do it? Can't you Google other ways to release endorphins? She says, no. She says, you get a high from running. I said, it feels like a high. What it actually is, it's that you're about to pass out. It's exhaustion. It's dizziness. Don't confuse that with being high. Believe me, I spent a lot of my college years and young adulthood in a high state. I was constantly high. I regret it now, but I was for quite a period of time. And believe me, and I've also been dizzy from exhaustion, there's a difference between the two. When you have a high off of marijuana or pot, you feel good. When you have a high from not being able to breathe real well, you feel bad. The difference is kind of obvious. So don't tell me this endorphin thing or this thing where when you exercise, you get a natural high. No, it's that you're about to die. And your body is saying, stop this. I'm about to expire. You don't seem to understand the difference. It's like people who work out too much and run all the time have to make excuses for why they're doing it. What you have is an obsession. There are many obsessions. And exercising and running is an obsession. You can't stop doing it. It's like smoking. Once you start, you can't stop. It's a healthy, it's healthier than smoking, I guess. Both of them are not good for your heart, though. I don't think so. I took a stress test at a hospital about 15 years ago, 12 years ago. I have borderline high blood pressure. Borderline means that if I stand between Mexico and the United States, I have borderline high blood pressure. Trump could build a wall on my chest. That's borderline. And so my doctor said, because everybody in the medical group has to make a lot of money. So my doctor said, you really should have a stress test. And I said, you know what? Coming to the doctor's office and seeing you is a stress test in itself. For some reason, she didn't laugh at that. I thought it was quite humorous. So she schedules a stress test for me. And I go to this separate location, and there's stress test employees there. And I'm sitting and I'm waiting. And I find out that the stress test is simply that they put me on a treadmill, like some type of a rat or something. And they hook up these, like you take an EKG, they hook up these little wires to your chest with an adhesive and to your arms and stuff. And they measure how your heart is taking the stress of running on a treadmill. In other words, the medical community is admitting that exercising is stressful. They're admitting that. We're going to put you on a treadmill and we're going to see how long it takes before you get exhausted. Oh, so you're going to torture me through exercise. Okay, that doesn't say too much for the exercise industry. I hope you know that's what you're doing. You're annihilating the exercise industry. you're gonna get really tired because we're going to make you exercise. Oh, yeah, horrible. So they hook me up to this stuff, and they put me on the treadmill. And first, it's very slow and it very level. And I'm saying to myself, I could do this. This ain't so bad. I don't even feel the endorphins being released. This is kind of simple. And I say to the medical person, I say, well, how long am I supposed to do this? I said, oh, just for 4 minutes. And I said, I think that's a piece of cake. As a matter of fact, why don't you give me a piece of cake while I'm doing this? Because I've got no problems here. I must be in fantastic shape. I don't even work out, and this isn't even bothering me. Well, after about 30 seconds, they increase the speed just a bit, and the incline of the treadmill, I feel like I'm going a little bit uphill now. And I can feel it. I can feel the burn, baby. But I'm still saying to myself, this is easy stuff, man. I've only got 3 minutes to go, and this is not so bad. 30 seconds later, the incline changes from a little bit going up a hill to climbing Mount Everest. It just changes like that immediately. And within like another 15 seconds, I'm exhausted. I want to stop and have lunch. And the treadmill goes faster to the point where I'm practically running now. And it's only about 3 minutes into the thing. And I say, well, I've only got a minute to go. And the medical person says, well, I said 4 minutes just to fool you. We really have to go 6 minutes. I said, you asshole. It's getting faster and the incline is getting larger. And now I'm sweating like it's like the roof is leaking. I'm sweating buckets. I am sweating like crazy. I'm almost losing my footing on the treadmill because I'm sweating so much. It's like running in a swimming pool. I'm sweating like crazy. And I can't even. And they're saying, how you doing? And I, at first, of course, I would say, I'm doing fine. This is easy. Now I'm saying, I'm gonna die. I can't even talk. I can at any time I can stop, and I can't do it anymore. I feel my body shutting down, and the room is turning all different kinds of colors, and I don't make it to the 6 minutes or whatever it was supposed to be, and they shut it down, and they say, well, Ron, you did really well. It was just for the last 15, 20 seconds of the stress test, we saw some changes. Your heart's good, but, you do have stress test problems here. And I looked at them and I said, let me explain something to you. I said to the medical person, I said, let me explain something to you. This is not normal. I don't think there's going to be much of a situation in my life where I am going to have to be running full speed up Mount Everest. I don't see that happening. I don't even think I'm going to walk up Mount Everest either, or even look at the damn mountain. So I don't quite understand how you can tell me that my body is stressed under circumstances like this, which I don't plan to ever have. And the medical examiner didn't respond, probably because they're thinking, the guy's right, this is stupid. Well, I haven't had a stress test since, because I think I caused them stress when I went in and had the stress test. Yeah, I think it put me close to death, and I think they caused it. It was a horrible thing. So I'm not running any marathons, none too soon. I have no reason to. I don't want to. I don't even want to watch people do it. I know people watch marathon runnings on television. They do stand on the curbs and watch people run by, which is totally more boring than watching a parade or playing golf. It's just, this is not something you watch. You don't watch people. You can watch people having sex. Even that's a little perverted. There's no sport for that, by the way. There is no, well, I guess there is. I guess it's called pornography. I guess that's the sport. I don't know. Anyway, let's get off of that subject. I don't even know how we got there. I'm just saying it's a foolish thing to watch people running around. And just, I'm proud of myself for not participating in something that other people can consider to be such a wonderful experience. And by the way, they also say it's a huge amount of bonding. They bond with other runners. And I say to them, I don't care if people are running or not running. Too much bonding isn't good for you. That's my stress test. I don't bond well. I'm like a bad glue. When I meet somebody, it's usually not going to work out for anybody.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
We'll be back after these messages with our guest for today.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation. And today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Technology Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets. They're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
We are in a world, ladies and gentlemen, of cameras and surveillance. As soon as you go outside, it could be in your neighborhood, certainly on a city street, there are cameras that are watching you, not you specifically, although if you're paranoid or high on pot, then it is you. There's no question about it. Otherwise, no, they're just watching everybody. As soon as you leave your home, there are cameras. And some people are very wary about their computers and their little Comcast TV boxes. Are there cameras in there? We're all kind of wondering, like, what's going on with this stuff? But one place cameras really do make a difference is on police officers. and in policing and trying to catch the bad guys and making sure that the police officers really are the good guys. So we're going to talk about policing and the use of body cams, which has become quite popular. And I have a feeling that eventually we'll be wearing body cams on just regular citizens to maybe chronicle our entire day. It gets into very strange and funky laws and stuff. But it's just now that police departments all across the country are starting to wear body cams. They're done overseas in very many European countries already. We're always behind on everything, by the way. Did you know flat screen TVs were in just about every home in Europe, especially in England? Where here, flat screen TVs were outrageously expensive and had just been introduced into this country. We're very behind technologically sometimes. You don't know that, but if you check out other countries, you'll find that we're always kind of the last ones to have the technology. Maybe we had it, but it was never released in this country. I'm going to shut up now. Let's get back to body cams. Let's talk about community policing and this whole change to body cams.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
I'm doing great. Great.
This is Rick Smith. He's the CEO of Axon. And they're doing some incredible stuff. But we're talking about policing and the future of policing, actually in a technological sense. We all know that during the past year or so, there's been a lot of controversy in the news about policing, and that's been the major attention by many people.
Yeah, this is probably the most difficult time, certainly in my lifetime, that I've seen with this tension between police and the public.
So the idea is to make police forces more transparent, I guess? Is that the word?
Yeah, I think transparent, trusted is another one. You know, I actually think police do a really, really difficult job. And on the whole, there's a lot of great people doing that job. But, you know, sometimes they get in rough situations where there's no good outcome. And, you know, we've all heard of the various police shootings, et cetera. And what's happening now is, you know, there's so much tension that people just imagine police doing terrible things. And that's where, you know, this new technology of wearable cameras is making a huge difference. Because rather than us having to guess why maybe police were involved in a shooting, we're actually able to go back and see the video of what that police officer was facing. And as a result, we're seeing really a dramatic improvement in police-public relations when police agencies are able to actually show the public, look, here are the challenges we're facing. And, you know, we're not out there, you know, trying to hurt people. We're out there trying to save people. But sometimes police find themselves in really dangerous spots.
Yeah. I remember a television show called Cops, which was wildly popular for decades. I don't know if it's still on the air with new episodes or not, but I think that gave us a little taste of what things were really like.
Yeah, it certainly did. And now we're seeing an ability for every officer to be able to show these incidents. You know, I was just with the chief from Baltimore earlier this week, and he was showing an amazing video. I mean, it's pretty tragic. It was a police shooting. But what was interesting is when it first went public, the word in the street and what was on social media was that police executed somebody running from them, and they shot him in the back.
Yeah.
So the police released the video, and what you actually see is, this guy's running, but he's got a gun in his hand, and he spins, and he's aiming the gun at the officer when the officer fires. And that totally changed the tone. I mean, as we know, Baltimore's been racked by riots and looting and all sorts of, you know, civil unrest. And the chief was telling me that very likely would have happened again if not for the fact they're able to show the video, and everybody then calmed down and said, okay, you know, it's still tragic, but what the officer did, he really had no choice.
Well, it actually is all a matter of perspective as well, even for video. You figure if there's a video shot, that's it. But the perspective of the video, the angle, is significant as well. And what would be more direct than the video coming from the viewpoint of the police officer who is the one that is making the decision and is the one in harm's way in those situations? So it is vastly more significant. How prevalent are body cams at this point in our lives in policing and police departments?
Yeah, so only about 20% of police officers in the United States have a body camera today. And we think that that's too low. I mean, every officer's got a gun. We think a camera helps protect them and reassure the public.
Right.
So in places like Boston, where they're doing body camera trials right now, we're stepping forward. And this week, we had a big announcement where we said, look, as the leading provider of body camera technology, we are going to step up and invest in this problem. And so this year, we're making body cameras free for every police officer in America for the next year, for up to a year of a trial, so that there's no reason that people have to wait for budgets to really get this stuff in the hands of the cops who need it.
You sound like the Oprah of body cams. Everybody gets a body cam.
It's something we believe in big time. And look, ultimately for us as well, there's, you know, we are a corporation.
Right.
And you know, when people say, okay, what's the catch? It's really pretty simple. We believe that once officers try this technology, you know, a year into it, it's going to be like a smartphone. They're not going to want to give it up, and hopefully we'll get some new customers down the road. But for now, you know, we'll make the investment to get it in people's hands.
Yeah, well, that is where it's at, actually, because it is an investment by the police departments, the towns, the cities, et cetera. And it's in kind of a test situation with all these departments. And I guess what you're doing here with Axon is actually saying, go on, everybody try it now and notice how great it is. So it's a great idea. And immediately officers can be using the technology. So thank you, I suppose, is an order to you. Okay, so is there any, do the criminals, do the people who are being pursued, is it good for them to know that they're being witnessed on camera?
You know, it's pretty interesting. This is the first time in my career that I've seen it where the police and some of the anti-police groups, from various perspectives, are both agreeing on this topic, where they're saying, look, a body camera is good. If you're a cop, it's great because it protects you from false claims against you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a civil rights attorney, it protects your clients by bringing the truth of what happened, so police literally can't be abusive without it being caught on tape. And so both sides of the spectrum believe, you know what, the truth is helpful for everybody. There's no one I've seen who's really come out against body cameras. They're pretty universally accepted. The main reason that they're not in more widespread use is that, look, you know, police agencies are part of your local city government,
right,
and these things take time, and
right,
you've got to wait for the budget to become available. And that's why we're doing this move to really try to accelerate this by taking budget off the table and letting agencies try it for free.
Yeah, and then when it is successful, then, of course, it's easier to pass through their local government by saying, this works, it's wonderful, we've got to have it, and then that becomes more significant. So how do we get more information about this whole program and what Axon is doing?
Yeah, so this week, I started the week as the CEO of Taser, was the name of our company.
Uh-huh.
Now we've changed the name to Axon, just because when I say Taser, you immediately, no doubt, think of our other product,
kinda,
which is these electronic weapons.
Kinda.
And so the best way to get info is just on our website, axon.com. That's A-X-O-N, axon.com. And police agencies go right there and sign up on the webpage, and we'll be in touch to get them their trial equipment.
Ricky, make it sound pure and simple, and I think we like that.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it easy. There's enough complication in the world.
No kidding. Rick.
Try and get this out and make it easy.
Really? Okay. Hey, thanks for talking to us.
All right, hey, thanks for the time this morning.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Wow. That's cool, huh? That's so cool. It's cool. It's just cool. It's cool.
Wild side, and I wish I was. Whoa.
You know, many people are very hooked to their horoscopes, horror scopes, and they can't live without knowing what's going to happen to them. Me, I can live without it. But you, maybe you can't.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your horoscopescape for the month. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, there are just two words for your month ahead: regrettable tattoos. Pisces, remember that when one door closes, another one opens. Usually, you probably shouldn't stand around waiting. You could try knocking politely, but yeah. Aries, no one wants to get hit by falling space junk, but you should probably get used to the idea. Taurus, new friends and a new outlook on life are coming your way, thanks to a blow to the skull and subsequent amnesia. Gemini, get out of that bad relationship you're in, because the bad part? Yeah, that would be you. Cancer, keep in mind that naked midnight spearfishing during a thunderstorm only sounds like a good idea when you're really drunk and should probably be taken home instead. Leo, here are your two words for the month: lengthy trial. Oh, and two more: concurrent sentences. Virgo, just when it looks like things are about as bad as it gets, get ready to discover that you are wrong. Libra, a modeling opportunity is coming your way this month. Looks like you'll be the before picture for either weight loss or hair restoration or toe fungus removal. Possibly all three. Scorpio, change your travel plans soon. The stars are a little clear on exactly why, but apparently everyone in Taiwan hates you. Sagittarius, you're going viral this month, but a hearty dose of antibiotics should clear that right up in no time. Capricorn, you will soon hear from an old flame. Considering your track record, it will probably be about bail money or muling one more load of coke over the border, but just see where that goes. Why not? That's your horoscopescape for the month. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
Peace. Thank you, Kip. Thanks so much, Kippy. Thank you, Kippy. Just about out of time for today, but I'll be back again tomorrow. Oh, that's a threat. Can we make an appointment right now? Can you get out your calendar, your appointment book, and write down anytime tomorrow we're going to do a new show, and I'd love you to be here. I'm personally inviting you. This is very different than when people who do talk shows say, hey, join us tomorrow. That's very mundane and passé. I'm inviting you specifically. Yeah, you. I'm pointing at you. Yeah, you. I'm inviting you specifically to do this again with me tomorrow. And I guarantee you, like some type of a monkey, I will perform for you and all that. So will you do that? And look, tell your friends about the show, because I get paid according to the number of listeners. This network that I'm on, actually, when they can't see you, but they know how many listeners there are for every single day and every single hour and stuff like that. And I get paid accordingly. And I haven't eaten in 7 years. So the more you listen, the more I get. And it doesn't come from your pocket. All you have to do is listen to this crap. Is that a lot to ask? I don't think it is. I could be wrong. Well, I know I'm wrong. But this is how we help each other out, you see. I'm sorry, I'm laughing uncontrollably for some reason that I don't know what it is. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.